Charlie, you just talked about naval ordnance. What ships were out there, and what kind of guns, and how could you direct them?
Obviously, we had a couple of destroyers, but we fired the naval. We fired the USS New Jersey a couple times. Obviously, they're 16-inch.
Now, he went AWOL on the battleship New Jersey.
How long was he gone?
I had to fly three or four of his missions. I know that.
I was with Anne Margaret, and many years later...
Hey, take your choice.
And many years later, Bill Reeder, who just got back from Hawaii...
I saw her in Hawaii.
Yeah. And you had dinner with her.
I did.
Thank you very much. And that's why I went AWOL. You don't see curves like that in Don Hall.
I had to fly your missions.
And Roger was right there next to her the whole time, right?
Absolutely, he was. We got in a big battle on 26 October where... we had the 1st of the 5th Mechanized Infantry, and big battle, went all day long. A lot of us got involved with it. Just to show you how ignorant we were about so many things about this enemy that was so cunning. We could see them coming from North Vietnam. We knew that they were crossing the river, and we knew that they were getting close to the Marines or the 1st of the 5th. What we didn't know until after the war is they were coming in and they were going underground. We thought the water table was enough that they couldn't go underground. Well, they really, really, really went underground. So in the big battle we had, I'm not going to bore you with all the battle, but here's the significant thing. It was 7.5 hours of flying up there. Weather was rainy. Ceilings were bad. And just like Doc said, there was a bunch of us that shot from the cockpit and knocked out a couple of machine guns and everything, kind of turned tide. What we didn't understand, all of you were coming after them. We could watch you come and engage the troops. We thought we had wiped them out. We killed 303 that day. But what we didn't realize is underground, here came reinforcements. And I got to talk to one of the men on the ground in Greenville, South Carolina. And he says, Colonel Finch, here's why we knew we were in trouble. All of us were soaking wet, everybody. And here come, out of the railroad bridge, here came all these North Vietnamese. They didn't have mud on their boots, and their uniforms were dry. We knew right then, and I'd been up there 5 months, we had no clue the amount of resources and the amount of troops that they could put underground in the DMZ. I mean, turned the battle. So anyway, make a long story short. So we're fighting this war. Now all of you guys are way up North Vietnam, and here you come marching south. And we get some intel that you're coming south. And I had to stop because these guys were getting their fannies kicked. So the New Jersey's sitting over there, and we started firing them. It turned the battle of the war for that hour and a half, 2 hours, because the New Jersey with 16-inch shells that are as big as a Volkswagen with their HA, with their high explosive, stopped them from coming, and it allowed our people on the ground, the 1st to the 5th, who were outnumbered probably 10-1, heroes beyond heroes, to disengage
Charlie
from the enemy.
Charlie got a silver star out of this.
Yeah, we had a couple of people. All these people get decorations. Let me tell you what. You have to think about everybody that's over there that's supporting the war. You know, it's being there at the right time to get an award, unless you're Pat Brady with a Medal of Honor, and of course, Wild Bill Reeder. But we always felt that everybody that are in our unit did so many heroic things, but there was only one officer to write awards and decorations, and nobody really cared about them. You cared about when you came home and you see all these guys, particularly the helicopter pilots with DFCs for just starting an airplane in the morning. Sorry, helicopter pilots. When you see, it's an honor, it's nice to be awarded. He finally got a silver star for what he did in the Cobra after, 40 years? 44 years. Somebody finally decided to write what he did up, what he did. So we had the best unit in the world. We still have our reunions. We had the best mission. Just think about this. You get to see the whole war. You get to see the enemy. After the bombing halt in October, we were not allowed to fly up in North Vietnam, and we kept seeing their trucks coming down south. And after a while, you get tired of having incoming and sleeping in a bunker. And Clyde Trathorne and I, good Marine, we decided to go up North Vietnam and kill some trucks. I went up there with two Willie Pete rockets.
This is doing the bombing halt now, Charlie.
And I just said,
this.
You know, Paris Peace Paul said you can't go up there. Loaded two rockets, and you know, punched them off at 50 feet, and you could see the guys, you know, just looking at you as the rockets came in. Blew up that truck, blew up another truck, and the other one burned. What I didn't realize, how ignorant we were, is that truck was loaded with ammunition. If you could have seen my wings, there was everything, every type of mortars, grenades, RPG fragments are sitting in my wings. That was hard to explain.
Especially at the peace talks in Paris.
I don't know.
How much did you love going after bad guys?
It's because of the guys on the ground, because we stayed at Dong Ha, so you're living with the Marines, and you're taking incoming, and you admire them so much because the Marines, in their infinite wisdom, will send out a platoon to attack an NVA company. It was crazy. But that's the way they did it, and they were successful about it, but they were in the bush so much. And because we had so many that were being killed, and at the ramp at Dong Ha, you would just see these green bags loaded on these C-130s, and it just made you more aware that you need to go out there and do some battle.
We were mainly, you know, we weren't necessarily just attacking NVA. We were trying to save American lives. It's basically what we were doing. They would get into a real sandwich where they get surrounded. We're trying to get them out alive is what we were trying to do. Not necessarily as far as just going out and hunting NVA. We left that to Charlie. But just trying to save the guys' lives so they can come back home.
Who were Steve and Gaper?
He was in his flight class.
Who?
Gaper, are you talking about Lee Harris?
Oh, Lee Harris.
Yeah,
he was in my flight class at Fort Rucker, and we all went over. There was about 7 or 8 of us guys out of my class that went to the Caterpillars. And Lee was up flying, and they wanted a Marken rocket up in North Vietnam near Fingers Lake, and which was about, 5-10 miles north of the DMZ there.
Right.
And
one
37 millimeter, we guess, hit him in the left wing, the way I understood it, and went down. Now, he had a high ship, and he got excited, and never saw where he went down. The next day, Charlie formed the team, and the intense fire was something else, but Charlie found him. Tell him about that.
Here's how good the North Vietnamese were. You kind of really respect them. Lee was late in that afternoon, the evening, and that's when they always knew that, because we couldn't fly at night. It's like flying over North Korea. There's no lights. You don't see anything. I mean, it's just all dark. So they shot Lee Harrison down. So the next morning we go up, a whole bunch of bird dogs. So Lee was infamous, beyond infamous. In fact, he was as good as pilot as Doc. So they knew we were coming. So we got up there. I had a Marine in my back seat who's now deceased. And all of a sudden, we couldn't find the airplane. And then all of a sudden, I spotted it, and as soon as I spotted it, you know, I called the other people, here it is. The entire world lit up, and it's flak. It's just like Bud Anderson and everybody else flew, a little bit not as intense as those guys in WW2, but it's frightening, because the only way, when it starts going off, the only way to get out of there is here. You go right to the ground. So if you're 3,000, you go that. Then it takes a doggone long for that airplane to climb up there. So they suckered us in, and they just hosed us. I respected them so much, because you guys think you're good. We don't even have any air up here except MiGs and Hanoi. We're not going to let you get that airplane. And sure enough, they moved it, and we never did recover Lee, and he was missing in action. We never did do it. Now, remember, this is right before the bombing halt stops on 31 October. They knew that they want to try to kill us all before the bombing halt. Think about this. If you're a Marine and you're sitting in a DMZ and you can see with your field glasses North Vietnamese across the river, and you can't do it. You can shoot him if you can shoot him, but you can't do anything about him. If we could have just taken 50 Marines 2 days, we could have knocked out all the resupply routes, all their trucks, all that. No, we're not going to play the war this way. It was crazy. It's crazy.
How addicted, or is it possible to get addicted to doing what you were doing?
Oh, it's a drug for me.
Yeah.
No, it's a drug. I mean, it was, and that's not, it's just, you know, some people like alcohol, some people like drugs. I like fight, because you're fighting with a team. And think about this, you're 26 years old, at the University of Georgia, you barely get out because you can't spell cat with a C or the A, and you're sitting there and you think, I've got this whole war to watch, and I've got to make sure those people on the ground know that they're going to have somebody protected them at all times. And it reinforced their will and their courage. You never leave them. And Doc would always relieve me. We'd always have 24-hour coverage as far as when it was daylight, which would be about 17 hours.
Yeah. But also what it's like is like being on adrenaline. And you get up there every day. You're in a battle. Every day we're shot at. Every day. And it gets like adrenaline. You don't recognize it. I guess it's just like taking a pain pill, and you don't recognize it, taking another one and then another one, and what it does to you. And then when we come off the Z, when they pulled us off, they pulled me off after 6 months and back down the 2nd Platoon in Fubai. And then you look around and see.
No, let me make this clear. He got scared. He got shot up so bad, sneaking up way up in North Vietnam, trying to be a hero, and they lit his fanny up.
They did.
We did not take you. You said, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But he was the man. He was the man. But, yeah, we didn't think he'd ever come back.